When I first came up here, I almost immediately started teaching a lot of people about some of the Muslim teachings. And I tried to explain, look, I want to tell you why I'm doing this. I don't believe in Islam, but the reason I'm doing this is because one of the things I discovered when I was, I guess I was in my teens, there was one old preacher had a library, and he let me come over and read out of it. And I discovered that Muhammad actually wrote his Quran out of the Old and New Testament. He wrote about 500, 600 years after the Bible, after the Old and New Testaments were completed. And so what he did, he went and he just wrote his own version of it. And in so doing, he used all, just about all the characters in the Old Testament and New Testament by name. And he wrote the prophecies. He took their prophecies and interpreted it the same way. And so he had to come up with an Antichrist, and he had to come up with a false prophet, and he did. And so as I went through that, I'd been pretty well trained, and I was a good landmarker, but when it came to the Antichrist and the Pope and all those different things, there was an awful lot of change whenever the John Wesley broke away from the Methodist Church. Not from the Methodist Church, but when he formed a Methodist Church after coming out of the Church of England. And when he came out, he formed this group. And they began to break away from the traditional teachings. And they changed the rapture. They changed a lot of things. And then after that, there came the great evangelical age, where all these men rose up and they started teaching about the Antichrist and about the false prophet. And I grew up in this era of confusion. When I was young, when I first started teaching, listening to teaching, and when I was young and they had me teaching a Sunday school class out in the woods, they taught that the Antichrist would come out of Europe, and they taught that the false prophet was the Pope. And so that's what I was taught when I was young. Thank goodness they were landmarkers. They were right on target with that. But there I was with that teaching, and I've always had an analytical sort of mind. One fellow called the other day and wanted to talk to me, and Terry sort of said, "Well, he's this and he's that." She said, "Well, he's just feeling real bad and he can't talk to you right now." And so she said, "What do you want to talk to him about?" He said, "I just wanted to hear his voice, I talked to so many people when I was first came up here and started doing those lectures. They call me all the time. Some of them now. John's called me twice, and I haven't felt up to talking to him, John Holbrook. But oh well, that's another story. But the reason I'm going to talk about this is because it has to do with Muhammad rewriting the Old and New Testament, taking everything that's in it, twisting it around to what he believed, including the prophetic writing. So it helps to understand what we're in right now. And when we got, I guess about last year, I just stopped and I said, I'm going to wait a while before I write any more. Because Donald Trump was running. Believe it or not, I thought he was going to win. Now, I'm not a Donald Trump fan. Don't get that idea. But I listened to him and what he said he was going to do. And I believe that somehow he would probably end up doing that. And I wanted to wait and see what happened when he got in office. I'm sorry if I sound like a know-it-all, but it's happening. And we're entering into a situation in the Middle East where a lot of prophecy is going to be fulfilled in a short time. But I'll start Sunday morning, and I will try to go and make some things simple that I've perhaps complicated in the past. I'll teach them, and I'll teach them the same way, but I'll try to fit it through they use this all the time, a more comprehensive way of presenting it. That usually means they're going to tell you a big lie, and because they use the word comprehensive, it has to be true. I did about three revivals for this fellow. The Islamic perversion, I'll get it right in a minute, the Islamic perversion of the biblical Antichrist. He was a missionary in Russia, a missionary, Baptist missionary. He was scriptural, he was sound, and I liked him a lot. And they got a skunk underneath the church while I was doing a revival out there. We had to evacuate the building. I'll never forget that. And I try to think of his name. We were good friends, but Lord, I have a hard time thinking of my own name now. He had a lot of Muslims. That was where he was. He was up in Finland he was in Russia, but he was in that little extension that comes across south of the water that separates Norway and Finland and the extreme northeastern section of northwestern section of Russia. A fine man. I haven't heard from him in a long time, but I imagine a lot of them try to get a hold of me, and a lot of days I just don't feel like I can talk to hardly anybody. Now, a few years ago, one of our missionaries in Russia had advised a local group of Muslims that Islam was the spirit of Antichrist. Well, when I was growing up, they didn't teach me that in this landmark church that my grandfather was a deacon in. And they really, as far as they had the Antichrist coming out of Europe, and they had the false prophet was the Pope, and so that's what I was taught in that school. Now you say, well, that I don't particularly agree with that. Well, thank God you don't have to agree with that to go to heaven, and because I know a lot of missionary Baptists would go straight to hell and wouldn't even pass go on a Monopoly board. Now, his name was Kevin something, I can't remember. And it really shook them up. So when it shook them up, they went back to their leader, back to their synagogue. And not synagogue, but their place of worship. And there they studied it, and they got the head man to go over it with them. And they came back and told him what they believed and why they believed he was wrong. Now, here's what the Islamics teach about this Dajjal. Dajjal. This is their version of the Antichrist. I've never discussed this evil personality in Islamic teachings before, because it's a perverted version of fabricated teachings from the Old and New Testament. And the Muslims claim to have two older copies of the Quran, but they're kind of like what's going on television right now. They have never been able, or never would publicly show them. They don't have them. The world has never been able to find a copy written before 750 A.D. Now, the reason I went back and studied all this stuff was not to impress people. I wanted to know where all this stuff came from and how it came into our work, how it came into all the Gentile works, all the Protestant works. But I didn't have any problem with that because I wasn't a Protestant. I had a print Baptist on my ID card, my ID chain. Now, I received this query that's on your reading way back in 2006. I think it was probably. Well, it was probably right about November 29th or the day before. And Muhammad wrote the Quran more than 500 years after the writings of the New Testament were completed with the Book of Revelation. He had access to and read both the Old and New Testaments. He and the other Islamic writers who followed his writing interpreted the one we call the Antichrist to be the evil Dajjal. Dajjal. And if I don't pronounce it the same way going back through there twice, well, forgive me, because I don't see too well anymore. Now, this is an article which follows by Muhammad Ali Ibn Zubair Ali, and it's titled, Who is the Evil Dajjal? It's an excellent commentary on the Dajjal. It's easy to see, and after reading it, making you understand why the Muslims came back to the missionary to try and convince him they had nothing to do with the evil Dajjal, who is the Islamic version of the one we call the Antichrist. Now, we call the Antichrist, and actually, he's the false prophet. Now, the false prophet, I was taught when I was young, was the Pope. And this was in the Missionary Baptist Church that I grew up in. And I was taught that the Antichrist was going to come out of Europe. Well, I kept looking at that, and finally I got some books from some of the writers back in the, before John Wesley left the Church of England to start the Methodist Church. And I discovered that what they taught back during that period of time was quite different from what is taught back even now. And I said, I got to find out about this because they used the Bible to write the Quran, and they made adjustments. So this is the Dajjal article. Who is the evil Dajjal, the Antichrist, or you could call him the false prophet? They're not interchangeable, but that's what a lot of people today do that are in that faith. Now, these are things that follow here are what are written in the supplement that's written to the Quran. In other words, after the Quran was completed, every time some prominent follower of the Islamic faith would have something, they put it in a book. And I used to know the name of every one of those books that were done that way, but I've forgotten. I've just lost a lot of brain cells, I guess. And these were these men would stand up and recite what they heard the Prophet Muhammad say. So you can imagine how much they got it distorted. I had a bad time with my neck and back, and I had to wear a brace. And so, I mean, this is the most painful thing I've had in my life. And I had to sleep over a, what do you call those round things you put on the floor and put your feet up on? Soft thing?
Ottoman.
And I often wonder if they were made by the Ottoman Empire. I mean, if that was part of their culture. I don't know if they were or not. I did it one time, but I was lucky to get over here, weren't we, Terry? And so by Muhammad, Ali ibn Zubair, Ali, here's what he stood up and recited. He exhorted the regular recital of Suratul Kahf, which will most certainly save one from the evils of Zajjal. Now, he claimed that he was alive when Muhammad lived, but he was just a little boy. And they made people quote the Quran a lot, still do. But he was, the reason they were so upset with the missionary over there was because they believed that everything Muhammad said was inspired, and it was twisted from the truth, and from his interpretation of the Old and New Testaments, which he wrote about 500-600 years after the Old and New Testaments were completed. And it really upset them because they liked this missionary that was over there, and they'd never heard that before. Now, here's another one. That RA is the book that this was is located in. It was kind of a supplement that they carried around with them to interpret the Quran. And here's what he claimed he heard Muhammad say when he was young. Since the birth of Adam till the advent of Qiyamah, there is no fitna. There is no evil. There is no test much greater than of Dajjal. So they had such, their faith is in something that children, kids, when they got old, they started telling that they remembered what Muhammad said. And they would record it, and they put it in these little books. There's about three of them. I used to know the name of every one of them and just could whip it off like that, but I can't remember zip now. Now, here's another one that describes what the false prophet will be like. And it says, and they interchange this sometimes for the Antichrist and the false prophet. Dajjal will be blind in his left eye. Now, anybody that would believe this stuff is already got a lot of loose parts up there between his ears. And he took this, and they began to add to it as time passed. And he will also have his own type of heaven, Jannat, and Jahannam, hell with him. He'll have heaven and hell with him. Although his Jannat will appear as Jannat, in reality it will be Jahannam. And likewise, through his Jahannam will appear to be Jahannam. In reality it will be Jahannat. Can you imagine people that would look at this, and these men were just little kids when Muhammad was alive, and they remembered that. Now, remember, it was over 500 years after the Bible was written that he wrote it, this mess. And so it had to be passed down to him from his father, and his father before him, and his father before him. And this man was just repeating what his distant grandfather or great-grandfather had told him. But he remembered it, and they wrote it down in this book. Now, I tell you, there's lots of things that I wish some preachers would go back and look at this stuff and show it to some of these. Well, they wouldn't, the Muslims wouldn't believe it anyway. But this is a, but I wrote this all down here, typed it all up from a page. You can read it for yourself. And it tells what's going to happen in the last days. And I'm reading this tonight and going through it tonight because he gives some amazing details in here that have been passed down from a son after Allah, not Allah's son. Allah has no son. And then this man died that had supposedly heard it. And then he taught it to his son. Audibly. And they had gone all the way down to when Allah wrote it. Now, we're talking about a bunch of people that outnumber us Christians. When I use the word Christians, they really outnumber people that believe what we believe. Now, I don't believe that and all these TV shows and things that you see. And when I was young, I told you about that Ouija board. That cured me forever. Because when she found that old Bible, I'd never seen it. I'd just heard about it. And she read dates out of there that I was not aware of it, any of them. I didn't even know their name. So I began to really take a look at things. And I began to come to this conclusion. There is no such thing as a demon. And you say, well, it's in the Bible. Well, go ahead and see how many times it's in there. So I'm going to tell you what I believe, and I'm going to tell you why I believe it. All those things in there are fallen angels. They're fallen angels. And the Bible indicates it's possible that someone has seen them in these ages, but it also indicates over in the New Testament that they wouldn't even know it if they had. But the one thing I've come to in this conclusion is, and I'm going to tell you three occasions that it happened, and you can look it up for yourself. I may just get to two of them tonight. But all this stuff came from a perversion of the Bible by a man who himself was possessed by the devil. No question in my mind that Muhammad was possessed with the spirit of the devil. There's no doubt in my mind that there are fallen angels. The Bible clearly states that. And there's no doubt in my mind at all that they can transform themselves for various reasons into angels of light. Make you think that they're really from God. And they aren't from God at all. You say, well, what about these demons? They're fallen angels. And when I was reading and studying, when we had that Ouija board, I went down to the base library and I took out every book on demons and demonology that I could find. And believe they had one section down there that was pretty well loaded with it, and they were real old books. And I read them, and I came to this conclusion. There are no such things as demons. There is a word demon, but in Turkmenistan, they call them I can't think of what they call them, but they also believe they're fallen angels. They don't believe that they're funny-looking green people. And all these people that cast out demons, if they do cast out demons, they're casting out devils. You say, well, what do you believe about that? I don't think about it very much. I had a young man that was a missionary Baptist missionary. I didn't know him too well, but he was sent out by a good friend of mine out of a West Virginia church. I haven't shared any of this stuff because this is confusing enough without throwing in a bunch of extra essentials. But there are no such things as we know and have been taught to us that are demons that's kind of green and got pointed ears. And that's kind of like the Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa was an imaginary woman that was painted. That the artist did such a good thing, why they began to worship her. So why am I telling you this? Well, you're going to run into people that have visions and all kind of stuff and like that, and their minds are warped. Maybe warped's not the right word. Well, we're living in an age and time where people actually believe that there are things called demons. And I was going back to see, I went back through, I don't know how many different studies about it, and I just don't believe there's any such thing as a demon. And so anytime you talk about demons or something, to most of these people, believe it or not, they believe they're fallen angels. Now, there was a little girl that followed Paul, and I believe there's when Satan fell from heaven, Jesus said he beheld Satan falling from heaven. When he fell, according to Scripture, on his coattail he took a third of the angels. And most people believe that those third of the angels that he took were all his angels from his angelic horde. I don't believe that. I think some from the realm of Micah, not Micah, but Michael, and Lord, some from the realm of. The devil. There are three realms of angels. The ones that left with Satan. And among them were angels that came from the realm of Michael and from the realm of Gabriel. And when they fell, they had their choice, and that was over with. That's why I'll give you two examples, get you out of here. Remember the little girl that was following along after Paul and Silas when they were up in Philippi, and there were two men, might have been three, I don't remember, but they were using her to make money. They had races back then, and they would use her to tell which runner was going to win, or which animal was going to win, whichever the case may be. She was very good at it. And so they kept her and they fed her and clothed her and raised her. And when when Paul and Silas showed up where she was, when she saw them, she immediately began to follow them. This is in the Bible. And she began to say, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." She said it very loudly, the scripture indicates. Well, Paul put up with it. She kept following him. She kept following Silas and Paul. And she kept saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." He didn't cast her out. Not at first. He put up with it, I guess, for a day or two. And finally, he turned around and said, "Come out of her." And all of a sudden, she just wasn't able to do any kind of casting out of or predicting races or anything else. Now that's the type of fallen angel that I believe, I said I believe. I didn't say I know, but I believe this. And so when I get to heaven, if I need to be corrected, the Lord will take care of it. And I just can't believe any other way. I believe she was from Gabriel's realm. And it was a fallen angel had possessed her, who was created and was in the realm of Gabriel. Gabriel had a realm of angels, and they were angels that carried messages. The angels carried messages. That's what they always did. They weren't as powerful as the head of the other two realms. And so when God sent Gabriel to Daniel, you'll find this all in the Bible. Gabriel wasn't able to get to Daniel because the angel of the fallen angel in, I believe in Greece, might have been Persia. But he was over a certain realm, and he had greater power than Gabriel because he was made by God and equipped by God to do a job. And then he chose to follow Satan. Well, Gabriel stayed there and couldn't get to He couldn't get to Daniel. And so finally, Michael, an angel from Micah, came. He has another realm of angels. And he came and he overcame the fallen angel in Persia. Now this is all in Scripture. This isn't a fairy tale. If I hadn't studied the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. But these people here have just this false god here that they've got in there. That's the biggest mess I ever saw in my life, and there's no way it could possibly be true. And so he casts her out, casts the demon out of her, and she was possessed by the spirit of Python. That was apparently a fallen angel that had indwelled her, was in her. And I think there have been a lot of fallen angels that have possessed people. I had a missionary in Denmark, Missionary Baptist Mission, an old friend, and he called me and he said, "I've got this fellow over there that we sent out as a missionary in Russia." No, he said, this was the church that sent him out, and I had been up there and preached. And the pastor up there, I can't remember his name either, he He got a call from the missionary they'd sent over there, and he was casting out demons. And this pastor in Virginia, the missionary Baptist church that sent him over there, and it was a missionary Baptist church they'd established, he said, "Mac, what should I do?" I said, "Tell him to stop doing that." He said, "Well, what else should I do?" I said, "Don't say anything to anybody and tell him to keep his mouth shut and stop casting out demons." And I told him why. And I think that you have demonic possession, but it's not, it's possession by the spirit of a fallen angel. And I think it's the fallen angel works in you and under certain conditions that I don't know all that much about, but I know more than most, but I've forgotten a lot of it because thank God I have. I don't even like to think about it. But this is not uncommon. It's very common in Europe, and it's very common in Russia and places over there, because fallen angels from three different realms work over there, possess over there. The second type was the Gadara demoniac. See, they call him demoniac. But it was a fallen angel that had possessed a man. And he was running about in the tombstones. The little girl probably came from Gabriel's realm, because Gabriel was created by God to carry messengers. And so the second type I'll show you will be the Gadara demoniac, fallen angel, possessed a man. And he, when does God do that? And what's the criteria? I don't know. But I know that those are fallen angels. They're not demons that are green and are aliens from a foreign planet. And they can possess people under certain conditions. Wouldn't it be interesting if our carnal natures had something to do with that? Wouldn't that be interesting? And under certain conditions, apparently God lets this fallen angel possess people. Well, I just told you about the little girl, which I believe was from the Gabriel's realm. But this possession of the what they call the Gadara demoniac in our literature and writing, this man was possessed by a god from a fallen angel that was part of Satan's realm. And Satan had a lot, his angels followed him, at least part of them. And but I'm afraid that there were, I don't know how many, but he tried to destroy himself. He ran about in a graveyard where all those lost souls were out there. Tried to destroy himself, he was clawing himself. And when he came before God, God already knew his name, and he came before Jesus, and Jesus said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion." He gave him his name because he knew who Jesus was. And Jesus then cast him out. And that's the other one that I'm telling you about tonight. But I've always tried to limit this to telling you that there's an awful lot we don't understand about what's going on. For me, there's no doubt that in this room right now here tonight, there are fallen angels. Nor is there any doubt in my mind that there are angels that are God's angels that are here. And I believe there's a constant war that goes on by Satan to try to stop people from being saved. He's not able to do it unless the person just never will come to understand that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And that when that happens, he passes from death unto life, or she passes from death unto life, whichever the case may be. And I think that's what was true with the Gadara fallen angel. So when I never have said anything about this, because when I came up here, I thought, good Lord, if I teach them that, why, what will they think I am? And so after I had been up here long enough, I taught it, and I believe it. But I think the problem are fallen angels. And I think that a lot of these things that they have, I was looking up the one spirit of Python, and there's a couple more in there. God seems to have tremendous purpose in whatever he does. Even though I've got dementia and I can't remember names or things like that, the one thing I've learned after all these years that God seems to let me keep is, well, he led me to go to the seminary, if you want to know the truth. And he led me into a family that taught me what I needed to know. And he stuck with me everywhere I've ever been. There seem to be some things that this dementia doesn't seem to affect. And one of them is this certainty. When he said all power in heaven and earth was given unto him, and when he gave this example of the power that he gave his angels, he apparently gave them the power to do specifically what he wanted them to do, based on grace. I think he knew what they would do and what they would, but I think every angel had a fair chance. And so we're all tempted. We all have a problem with our carnal nature. And the joy that I have in the time I've been here and the time I've studied all these different things is, I'm sure glad God knows what he's doing. Because when I came here, I didn't have much of an idea. And I was a believer. I was saved. But I'm telling you all this for one reason. It's time to go home. And the other thing is, demons aren't demons. They're fallen angels. And they possess people under a system of rules that God made. And when he made them, he knew what they would do. But he gave all of them a chance. And just because he knew what they would do doesn't mean God caused it. And so they made their choice. They're sealed in it. There's no way they can change it. So my life now is one of being very grateful to God, very grateful to God, that he overcame for me personally. And he overcame for every one of you that are members here and are serving him. We all have different ideas about a lot of different things. But one thing we do know is that there's a bunch of angels down in an area called Tartarus that are so mean and powerful, they're not going to come out till the ninth trump. So if you want to know what a fallen angel looks like, look at that ninth chapter of Revelation. I'm telling you, there's an awful lot of things we don't understand. There's an awful lot of things that if one day we discover it, we're not embarrassed. We just thank God we had an opportunity to study it. Well, we're finished. And I don't know what you all think of all that, but I sure do like it. Kenneth, you want to lead us?